back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. Kyle in for Hugh today. Buzz behind the glass. Well, Chauncey Garner-Johnson will certainly tell you things. He'll tell you a lot of things if you ask him. We got to hit this article here. All your phone calls to the Phillies. Are you ready to take the interim tag off of Don Mattingly? I am. Kyle is not, nor is Buzz. Nor a lot of our callers and I mean, you guys just don't want to reward performance here like I do. But that's okay. We'll get back to that. Your phone calls. Plus, we have a pair of tickets to give away to the HBCU Swingman Classic. Your go-to Hugh Douglas moment. Could be on the field, radio host, actor, your favorite Hugh Douglas moment. Best answer we get today will win these tickets. But there was a story, Kyle, that dropped this, I guess it was Friday into the weekend.
Yeah.
Long profile, Chauncey Garner-Johnson, now on the Buffalo Bills, and he's been on a million teams now. You know, obviously last year ended with Chicago, started in Houston, ended up on the Ravens for a couple weeks. We know his career. He's a really good player and a productive player, and it seems like wherever he goes, they win, and then he leaves, and they don't win quite as much. That's been the story of his career from the Saints to the Eagles, Lions, etc.
How convenient.
Well, it's the truth. I mean, convenient or not. So the headline is, why C.J. Garner-Johnson keeps changing teams? And why he thinks the NFL gets him wrong. So there's a lot of wild quotes in here, a lot of stuff that's very CJGJ-ish, including his alter egos that he goes by here. What's the one of them? Do something?
CD Deuce.
CD Deuce. Sorry, whatever that
is. He's had that for a while, though.
I know. But this one, he seems to be going with. So anyway, so he's talking about all these things in his career and how teams get him wrong and blah, blah, blah.
Oh.
So this is the quote, though, and this is the line from the story that got everyone. And I'm wondering, does this guy have a point here, or is it just time for it to fully shut up? So part of the article, and there's very little in here about the Eagles, but one part specifically about the Eagles, and I'm read directly from the article. Garner-Johnson seems to take glee in what he considers a dismantling of Philadelphia's championship squad. The Eagles on June 1st traded star receiver A.J. Brown to the New England Patriots. Garner-Johnson also chided them for losing free agent safety Reed Blankenship to the Texans as a roundabout replacement for himself. And here's the quote from CJGJ. Quote, Saquon, I hope you're happy, Garner-Johnson said. You see that band's getting broken up. Kyle, shut up, or does the guy have a point?
Well, shut up, first of all. I don't know who he thinks he is, to be completely honest
with
you.
Well, that's a fair framing of it.
He has been on 7 different teams since 2021. Like, you know, there's an adage out there, Joe. You walk around all day, and if you think everybody that you meet is a bleephole, it's time to look in the mirror.
Yeah, it might
be probably the bleephole.
Yeah, and that's probably this.
And that's probably C.J. Garner-Johnson. Is he a good player? Sure. I don't know if he's as good as he thinks he is. I know he's had interceptions, but those are sort of, you know, those can be kind of lucky, not to diminish what he's done. I just don't know. Like, clearly Vic Fangio didn't think he was good enough to warrant the headache. And clearly about 5-6 other teams agree with that.
Yeah.
I mean,
including the Eagles twice.
Right. He was on, let's say he went from the Eagles to Houston, and like Houston got rid of him in the middle of the season. Like, something is weird about this dude.
And that's D'Amico Ryans,
and
a great defensive coach.
That's D'Amico Ryans and Vic Fangio, two great defensive coordinators, two great defensive minds, who clearly think that it's better for the team as a defensive unit if he's not there. So no matter how good of a player he is or he thinks he is, he's not that guy. He's not that guy. And while I agree with you with the Saquon thing, probably didn't need to happen. It was an unnecessary move. I'm sure Saquon is happy. When he says, Saquon, I hope you're happy. Well, Saquon's a Super Bowl champion,
probably.
And then he just got his contract. And for you and Mekhi Becton, who I saw like the CJ tweet or whatever it was.
Like I think this quote was put out there on social, and Mekhi liked the quote I just read.
Where's Mekhi right now?
Well,
and what was Mekhi without the Eagles? What was CJ without the Eagles? If we're being honest, CJ says everywhere he goes that he's won. They only ever won a Super Bowl in Philly.
Well, that's true. He did have, I mean, he's been on a lot of good teams that have gone deep in the playoffs.
Yes.
Yeah, but the Eagles are the best one.
That's cute for him.
Yeah.
But, like, we made him.
So here's what I'll say. I think CJGJ is full of himself. I think he is not as great of a player as he thinks he is. I think all those things. I agree with you. And there is a reason that he's been on this many teams. And he'll probably play really well for Buffalo, and they'll probably win a lot of games with him. And then a year from now, he'll be on a different team because they'll be tired of his antics. I agree with all that. But in this particular, sometimes I think when there's people that people don't love and they say things, we just kind of wave it away because he's nonsense.
Yeah.
But he's probably right on this. I remember when the Eagles gave Saquon that money, I remember saying it was unnecessary, and it did cost them other players. Now, like, would they have brought CJGJ back even if they didn't sign Saquon? I don't know specifically. But you think back to a year and a half ago when the Super Bowl ended and they won. And they let Josh Sweat go. And they let Milton Williams go. And they let CJGJ go. They let a lot of good players go. And while in the same time frame, they handed Saquon $36 million more. They didn't have to do that. Yeah. So I think what we're dealing with here is Pat Riley had this phrase all those years ago when he was with the Lakers, the disease of me.
Yeah.
That after you win, it's hard to keep winning because everyone thinks of themselves.
Yeah.
And I think in this case, everyone's thinking of themselves. Like CJ's thinking of himself. That's why they got rid of me. And in Saquon's case, I mean, I'm not here to tell him turn down $36 million, but that extension was a me thing. He just got paid the year before by the Eagles. He was under contract. And I know we don't talk much about Saquon compared to the way we talk about Jalen, money-wise. The contract for Saquon might be aging really badly. The second one, right?
Yep.
Not the original contract the Eagles gave him was amazing, 2,000 yards. The next one, though, he didn't play great last season. He didn't run well. We will see what he does this year. As much as I want to say shut up CJGJ, he's not wrong.
But
they didn't have to give CJ that money. Saquon that money.
Saquon's not going to be the only one that's getting money that could have gone to CJ Gardner-Johnson, though. And Howie Roseman has spoken about this before. This is sort of a natural arc of a winning team. Like, you go to the Super Bowl, teams start to want your players, and you can't afford them all, and they all become more individually expensive just because of what they were a part of. I mean, think about it. We have this conversation all the time. Jalen Hurts going to be up for contract. Jalen Carter up for contract. Mm-hmm. They just paid Jordan Davis, Quinion Mitchell, Cooper DeJean. Like, I understand Saquon's the easy target because that was the same offseason.
And it felt a little unnecessary.
And it does feel unnecessary. I totally agree. But I just feel like he's an easy target for CJ to go after when there's a lot of different reasons that CJ Gardner-Johnson's here. And it's not just because they paid Saquon. He probably was out of here anyway.
Probably.
I think he was just annoying.
And I think the timing maybe made him feel like it was, because right when free agency started, they let all those guys go and then paid Saquon, you know, $40 extra million. And so, like, I kind of get it from a personal perspective.
Yeah.
Like, if you're sitting there and you're in his shoes, actually, we have a clip of him talking about how he found out he was no longer going to be an Eagle. And this is right around the time that Saquon got an extra little bump in salary. Really was a thank you to Saquon. That's all that was. That was a thank you, Saquon. Here's $40 million for running us to the Super Bowl. Here's CJGJ. It's kind of like a round table with some people he's with hanging out, and he kind of explains how he found out he'd no longer be an Eagle. Here's what I wonder. You mentioned the Becton thing. Now, CJ's the only one spouting off, right? Like, this is what he does. I wonder if those other guys felt that. Like, that off, like, Josh Sweat, for example.
Yeah.
Josh Sweat isn't a mercenary. He was an Eagle, drafted as an Eagle in 2018, helped them get to multiple Super Bowls. The first one in 22, I thought Sweat might have been their best defensive player a lot of that year. I mean, Reddick got a lot of credit, but Sweat was awesome. I wonder how he felt. Like, I was drafted here. I helped you guys get to two Super Bowls, and it was never even a thought they were going to bring Josh Sweat back. So, like, I if I'm him, I know CJ's the one speaking here, but if I'm Sweat, I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
You didn't even consider bringing me back, but you paid Saquon more money. That was unnecessary. I wonder if that feeling's in that locker room.
You know what? I'm sure it is. But you know what? Those guys, all the people who shared that, they might be out of here now, and it might be better for the team that way.
They might be. But I think moving forward, we have ourselves something we have to keep an eye on. I think Howie's got something he's got to like walk on a fine line with.
Yeah.
This is one thing. A year from now, and you mentioned it, we could have Jalen Hurts paid $60 million a year.
Right.
So it will not surprise me if a year from now or a year and a half from now, if they bring back Jalen, if they give him a new contract the way most of our listeners, Kyle, want them to do, there's going to be three or four players that are not back because of that.
Yeah.
And then
we're going to be looking at the Saquon contract, I think, again.
We're going to be looking at all these and say, you paid these guys this and let these guys go. It shows how good of a team they had in 24 that these are becoming issues now, but it's an issue.
Yeah, but can he also get out of here with Mr. Magnanimous, I was going to take a pay cut so we can get the whole team back together. What do you think you're the quarterback or you're Jalen Brunson? You're CJ Gardner-Johnson.
Wherever he goes, they win. You didn't read the
goodness,
article?
No,
you
like,
saw it?
That's the most annoying
Saints,
thing, too.
Saints, Eagles, Lions, Eagles.
We're acting like he went to the
Bears.
These are winning franchises. We're
not
acting
the Bears
like,
so much.
Well,
yeah.
But I think the Bears turnaround was marked by Caleb Williams, Ben Johnson. We're acting like he went to the Raiders or the Browns or something, and all of a sudden they started winning. Can we stop? He was lucky to be here.
So there are a few more wild quotes in this thing. He talked about how why teams don't keep him. And he said, I'm a firecracker, but let's take the body of work. Never legally been in trouble, never physically harmed a person, but I haven't been a captain ever in my life. They say you got to lead the right way. My definition of leading is winning.
Huh.
There's a lot of captains in this league, and I want this to come out. That's just for jersey sales. I can show you 3-4 captains right now that I wouldn't get behind. Why would I get behind anybody that doesn't believe in himself? I play for plenty of false captains, but I got to fake it. Like, that's my leader? I'll lead by my actions on the field. That C don't make me. Because when somebody comes up to me on the sideline and says, we need to play for you, that's let me know everything I need to know. I need more of his quotes. Not shut up. I need more.
I need you to read more of his quotes.
I love his quotes. So here's one more I love. Quote, when I win Walter Payton Man of the Year, I'm going to thank everyone who doubted me.
Man.
That's everybody until now. People already think I'm going to get cut from Buffalo. That's kind of what we said. We're doubting him.
Walter Payton Man of the Year? I mean, this man is delusional about who he is. A team captain? You think you're so misunderstood that every single team that you've ever been to, they just don't see it.
Yeah.
But you do.
When's the last time you heard someone talk smack about trying to win Walter Payton Man of the Year? Usually those guys are so humble.
He's 1-1.
That no one is arrogant enough to try. Like, you talk smack about your play on the field, not winning the best person award.
No, I kind of like that. Yeah, screw you guys. I'm the Walter Payton Man of the Year. All right, last one. It ends with this. Quote, I'm going to win the next 2 out of 3 Super Bowls. How? Look where they placed me at. Look who's my quarterback. If I got a bleeping fighting chance, it's over with. He's in Buffalo now, so he's talking about Josh Allen.
Oh, he does have a fighting chance.
Well, he does. He's also played with some good quarterbacks. Yeah. Jalen, Caleb.
Joe, he's dragging those teams to win.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe
he's the reason.
He dragged Everywhere Drew Brees when he wins. First got in the league.
He's guaranteeing a ring, and he's guaranteeing charity work.
And Walter Payton.
That'd be quite a year.
Community service and a Super Bowl.
All right, 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard here. All right, CJ, GJ, shut up, or does he have a point? Buzz, what are you thinking on this?
I'm with you in that I find him entertaining, but like in reality, he should shut up.
Yeah, no.
Like if he knows what's best for him, he probably should.
But does he
stop
have a point
talking.
On the Saquon thing? They did not have to pay Saquon extra money.
They did not have to pay Saquon extra money. That does not mean that C.J. Gardner-Johnson would have been back if they didn't pay him extra money. Like clearly, this guy is a problem, and that's why the Eagles didn't retain him twice.
Right.
It's why none of those other teams retained him. So I'm with you that they should not have given Saquon a gift. It probably wasn't good business. It felt like a thank you card. But that does not mean he should have been brought back.
I agree with that. The Becton thing that Kyle brought up makes me wonder if the other guys thought that too. Like, they let a lot of guys go from that Super Bowl team. I mean, they did. Now, some of them probably they planned for, and it was kind of just the cycle of things, but I don't know. I wonder who else could have come back if Saquon didn't get extra money.
The Saquon thing feels like an easy excuse for him to not face the writing on the wall or look himself in the mirror.
Are you saying this guy's not self-aware?
I think it's pretty clear that he's not.
All right. 215-592-9494. All right. Your phone call's on this. CJ, GJ, shut up, or does he have a point here on this? And the Phillies at Don Mattingly, should they take the interim tag off here? Plus, we have a pair of tickets to the HBCU Swingman Classic, Friday, July 10th, 7 p.m., Citizens Bank Park. Give us your go-to Hugh Douglas moment. Now, Buzz, did you have a go-to Hugh moment?
I do. So I think my favorite of all the Hugh Douglases, one of my favorite versions is Singing Hugh, and I always think of this particular one.
Living in this big blue world with my head up and out of space. I know I'll be A-O-A-O-K. I know I'll be A-O-A-O-K. When I see Trump. Oh, I blew that part.
Now,
so Stott recently stopped using this as his walk-up song.
Because of Hugh.
Probably.
Because of Hugh. That was during the 23 NLCS,
yes,
I believe.
Yes.
And then the Phillies blew the series right after that, if I recall correctly.
We blaming Hugh?
He should run it back, but that version. Should start walking
out. There's
version.
Too many children.
I can't
in the
hear that song in public at the ballpark as of very recently, wherever, without thinking of Hugh singing.
Did he ruin it for you?
He did. Yeah. He really did.
Now,
he ruins a lot of songs.
Did he do that on his own, or we put him up to it?
We had him do karaoke.
Oh.
And we printed him the lyrics.
Right.
And he blew it.
Yeah, so
as we expected. But we set him up for failure.
Okay. Yeah. Because sometimes when you have a return song, he'll just start singing.
Yes.
I mean, that happens a lot on the show.
A lot.
But that one we put him up to. All right. So
one day we'll get him to sing the Rebecca Black song. That's my goal.
Friday.
Yeah, that's going to be a hard one. That's going to take some time. We'll keep fighting that one. All right. 215-592-9494. Will in the Northeast. What's up, Will?
Dream, I can't say teams like no. Dream team, how y'all doing?
Well, what's up, pal?
All right, listen, I just want to say this about, our baseball team. Man, listen, right now, they're playing like a great team, man. And like I said, what they was missing, they got now. They got the brains and the heart back, right? And like I said, man, this manager is managing this team, man. That's what they was missing. Listen, they keep asking, is this team great? They've been great for the last 4 years, just managed wrong to me. That's what we're seeing right now, man. I mean, I know people may laugh at me and say this, but if you look at the type of team that we had and kept together, yes, they always been contenders. They just wasn't managed right. And now they're being managed right, we see the difference. So listen, man, get on the bus. Stop waiting, because guess what? I said it's now or never season, and guess what? They playing like it's now season, baby. I don't care what anybody say. That's what they playing like. They coming back off of, you know, being down and everything. Man, listen, this team is resurrected now, man.
Tell them, Will.
And it took a new GM, it took a new manager to actually get these guys playing the way that they've been capable of playing. And now he's bringing the heart and the not giving up spirit out of them. And like I said, man, that spirit is resonating through the whole team. Everybody is stepping up, man. And that's what we wanted to see. Everybody been crying, oh, the bats, the bats. The bats is winning. It's not the pitcher, it's the bats. So the bats going to keep winning, baby. That's what we've been waiting to see. It's just like Jalen said, this is what you wanted to see. Now we're showing it. And it's going to continue from here until the end of the season. And we watch it down Broad Street.
That's right. So you're ready to take the interim tag off, right, Will? We're taking that interim tag off?
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Take it off, baby. We want to keep this guy. We ain't like the Eagles, man. Keep going from, coach and manager to manager, OC to OC. Come on, baby. We need this guy. He's bringing the spirit. He's bringing the spark back to Philly. And guess what? We love him. Let's keep it going, baby.
See, Will gets it. Will gets it.
I don't not love him. I sense a lot of us are being feeling a little fat and happy.
You're keeping him at arm's length.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Hold on. Hold up.
All right. Okay,
so
my
Baby Who moment is him cooking the bacon on the air.
Oh, so Will, that's a really good one. Now, Will, we appreciate it. All right, so Will's in the mix for the ticket here. Favorite Hugh Douglas moment on or off the air? Could be playing career or on the air. Of course, when he cooked the bacon down in Atlanta when he was at 92.9 The Game down there. It's one of our favorite ones because it really showed us who Hugh was before we knew Hugh Douglas.
Well, so I remember he had told us the story, or he told us that he got in trouble for cooking bacon on the air in Atlanta. And I guess in my head, I'm like, oh, you know, like maybe somebody heard it. Like you must have been listening pretty hard and like they heard it. And then somebody told the boss. And then I was like, you know, we should track down that audio. We reached out to their old producer down there, and when he sent me the audio, I was like stunned at how loud it was, like how obvious it was that this man was like. It felt like he set up a microphone right next to the skillet and just started frying. Like it was intentional.
I think that might be what he did. I mean, it's so funny.
So loud.
Hugh doesn't realize the power of the microphone. I mean, often in here, he'll yawn while I'm doing a read, right? He'll play with the fidget toy.
Yep.
But this takes the cake. I mean, this is. Look,
do we have? I think that
we have. Okay. Yeah. If or when Hugh Douglas goes into the Radio Hall of Fame, I think this should be part of the introduction speech. Here it is when Hugh was down in Atlanta, and this was during the pandemic. So he's doing the show from home, which a lot of people did at that time. So Hugh at home on the air, listen to how it sounded. My favorite part is the Hugh Damn Douglas. Yeah. Like, what are you doing?
You know what? I felt myself. And his producer there, I go, you know, just take your time. Like we're on the air. I have to do that with him all the time.
Yeah,
it's like when somebody. So just for instance, if somebody were to walk by the studio and wave at us, not only would Hugh like wave back, he'd be like, "Hey, hi."
Well, that's the worst when we're down at Citizens Bank Park for the games because it's like a fishbowl, right?
Yes.
Like people are walking on the concourse and they're banging on the glass to say hi to Hugh and get an autograph, and he's interacting with them. It's like, you know, people can hear us.
I felt myself and his producer there. I'm like, hey, you know what? No problem.
Yeah,
it's all good. Just do you.
I actually like the lack of any sort of. Urgency to stop. He's like, let me turn this last piece of bacon and then we'll get back to the show. as if we're not live on the air.
He could not have cared less.
It's such a good piece.
We're not going to half cook the bacon. You got to finish what you started.
Well, I guess to be fair, Buzz, he's already caused a problem. He might as well finish his bacon, because otherwise, why create two problems?
The two exactly right. Out of the two.
Yeah, that's exactly right. All right, that's a good one. All right, we'll see if anyone could top it. Your favorite Hugh Douglas? No, the Hugh Douglas moments could be on the field. He was a great football player at one point, or they could be his radio career or anything. Your go-to Hugh Douglas moment. Best answer today gets a pair of tickets to the HBCU Swingman Classic coming up Friday, July 10th at Citizens Bank Park as part of All-Star Weekend Experience. All right, coming up on the other side, your phone calls on the Phillies. Don Mattingly, would you take the interim tag off? I'm ready to do it. Kyle and Buzz say no, not yet. And the CJGJ thing, saying hope Saquon is happy as the Eagles have lost a lot of players, obviously from the Super Bowl team a couple years ago after they gave Saquon that raise after they won. Shut up, or does he have a point? Where do you come down on CJGJ? On the other side, your phone calls on all this. And we have to get into a kind of under-the-radar story that could affect the Phillies in a significant way coming up in a few years here, how they build their team. We'll get to that next. 215-592-9494 for Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, Kyle Quinn on this side of the glass in for Hugh. Buzz produced the show today. 215-592-9494. All right, we got a lot to get to here on the show today. Of course, Don Mattingly, I want to take that interim tag off and make him the full-time Phillies manager. I got a couple people in here today. Nah, it hasn't been enough. Only 38-18 over 56 games. Make him the manager of the team. Where do you come down on that? Plus, CJGJ is basically saying Saquon Barkley is the reason a lot of the guys did not come back after the Super Bowl team because they paid Saquon more money, even though they didn't have to, and saying, how do you like it now, Saquon, as you keep losing players? He even kind of alluded to the AJ trade as being part of that, which that feels a little off from CJGJ.
Yeah.
I mean, I get the free agents last year, right? Because that's a direct money, salary cap thing. And AJ being traded really had nothing to do with money.
No.
It was more about he didn't want to be with the quarterback.
It's par for the course with him because he's completely clueless, CJ Gardner-Johnson.
That's part of the issue, yeah. Huh. But he might have a point on this one. Where do you come down on CJGJ? And we are looking for your favorite, go-to Hugh Douglas moment for a chance to win a pair of tickets to the HBCU Swingman Classic. There are so many Hugh moments. I mean, there's like 10 that we probably won't even hear today that are amazing Hugh Douglas moments.
If you think about it, we had a bracket of 64. I mean, and it changed pretty drastically from year to year.
Yes.
Like, there are so many different versions of Hugh, all based off of ridiculous things that he's done.
Yes.
And great things that he's done. I mean, you know, Eagles career.
I actually think, and this is probably a credit to his radio career, I think more people now think of, and it's been a lot of time has passed, but I think a lot of people now more think of the radio Hugh Douglas, the things he does on WIP, than rather than the all-pro player.
You know what we might have to do? We'll have to deliberate that one day
with
the audience.
What is Hugh?
When you think of Hugh Douglas, do you think of more the Eagle now or the radio?
Now, you and I are biased because we work with him every day on a radio show. Buzz, what is Hugh now? Like, I'll say this, and I mean this as a compliment. I think of Ike as a radio host. I mean, like, Ike's been doing this for so long, and he's obviously great at it. But, like, I think of Ike as a radio host. Obviously, he was a good football player, too. I mean, but what do you think, Buzz, of Hugh? Now, Hugh was an all-pro player.
Yeah.
That's a different kind of transition.
Was.
Right. So what do you think of him as versus what was he better at? Might be two different questions.
Yeah. Sure. What do you think of him as?
He's been the radio host for longer, has he not? Like, he's been doing this longer. It's more recent.
It is
this
longer.
This is now what he is.
This is who he is.
Radio host is who he is.
It's who he's morphed into.
Really is.
Eventually, we all morph into this, and he's joined us. All right.
It's like one day Arnold Schwarzenegger was no longer a governor. He's just an actor.
Yeah.
That's true.
You know, the football player Hugh Douglas would never have fantasized about a Cowboys quarterback on the Eagles.
Never. He took out Cowboys quarterback.
At some point, Ed Rendell was the postgame host, no longer the governor. You know what I mean?
Sometimes the transitions we make, that, you know, it happens. What are you going to do? All right. Now, here's a transition I hope doesn't happen, but it could really affect the Phillies. So, Matt Gelb wrote a story, actually a really interesting story on Friday, about Sam Fold. That was kind of the crux of the story. Sam Fold, who was a player and then joined Gabe Kapler's staff as kind of like a liaison between coaching and players, like that middleman between when they tried to put the analytics in here and when Gabe came in. And then he transitioned to become the team's GM. And I think a lot of people lost track of where the heck is Sam Fold. Well, they moved him over to the business side of the organization. And I think by reading the article, you kind of get the sense that Sam Fold might be the point person of the Phillies down the line. Like, he's going to Wharton Business School. And look, John Middleton's not young. Dave Dombrowski's not young. I think there's a real world where, like, one day when they do these press conferences, Sam Fold is the voice of the Phillies. So yep. that was the kind of the crux of the article. But as you read through it, there was something in there that was even more interesting, Kyle, and I think a bigger deal than Sam Fold and kind of on the business side of baseball here. The quote in here from Matt Gelb on The Athletic on Friday. Quote, one of the Phillies' largest sources of revenue, a $2.5 billion television rights deal with NBC Sports Philadelphia that goes through 2041, is in peril because the network is lurching toward an uncertain financial future. The Phillies could explore forming their own network. That feels like a really big deal buried in an article about something else, that NBC Sports Philadelphia is in peril. Now, it's not just them. This is happening to regional networks all over the United States. But that's a big deal because the part of the reason, or I would say the biggest reason why the Phillies carry a $300 million payroll is the money they get from NBC Sports Philadelphia. It's not just John Middleton's pockets. Yeah. Like, the pockets are lined by television money.
TV revenue.
Right. So if that goes away, which based on what's happening with cable and TV, it could go away. Kyle, that feels like a really big deal for how the Phillies build their team.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a huge deal. We're talking about one of the teams who, you know, we'll see what happens with the CBA and stuff. But, you know, if there are a few teams that you want to point to that benefit a lot from, you know, an owner who's willing to spend money, the Phillies are certainly one of them.
Yep.
And things could change drastically within the next few years, whether it's because of the CBA, the TV deal, stuff like that. Like, it's definitely something you have to worry about. Like, if you have an owner that's willing to spend a lot of money and then all of a sudden that gets cut down a little bit for whatever reason, you know, you just sort of lose that advantage over the rest of the league. And I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. Runs through 2041. Like, I don't, like, when is this thing supposed to come to a head? Like, do we have 15 years?
Based on what's happening with cable, I don't know if we do, right? That's a long time in the current, like, atmosphere of what's changing with streaming and all that. Feels like a long time away.
If the network folds, obviously the contract folds.
Right. So, I don't know how this plays into whatever they're going to be negotiating next season. Or, like, if that's going to have anything to do with it, but we obviously have to keep our eye on it.
So, one of the things Rob Manfred, when they're doing the CBA talk and they're fighting over the salary cap, one of the things baseball wants to do is centralize TV revenue, right? Like the way football does. Football, yeah. They all share the money, right? So everyone, whatever the money is for TV, they all share the pot. Baseball's not like that. It's why the Phillies are rich and the Yankees are rich and the Cubs are rich and the Rays are poor, okay, right? Those three teams I mentioned make a lot of money off TV. The Rays don't. So if we're rooting for a salary cap, like for the owners to win, I think we could withstand this, right? Because that would mean it'd be a centralized thing. If there's no salary cap and it goes that way, I think this is trouble for the Phillies. I mean, they could create their own network, but that requires people to, like, buy into the network and pay for it. And I think that would happen, but you don't know until it starts.
Yeah, and I think I'm more on the side of I'm not, like, hugely bullish on the salary cap. I think I'd prefer to see salary floor, and then if they do some sort of revenue sharing thing, I think that's ultimately what's best for the league here, I think, I would say.
I'm concerned about this, Buzz. I mean, the Phillies have spent a lot of money the last 10 years, and that money is driven by this Comcast deal, and if this goes away, that money goes away.
There's no doubt the way it is right now is advantage big market teams, like you were saying. Phillies, Yankees, Red Sox. So I mentioned this in our meeting this morning, just to, like, dive into it deeper, how this would work. So about Major League Baseball's producing about half the regional broadcasts as it is. Bally Sports folded.
Yeah.
And I think, like, I know down in D.C., like, the Nationals aren't on Masson anymore. Like, they're just on Nationals TV, or, like, the Rangers are on, like, Rangers TV. And these are networks that are team/Major League Baseball owned that basically just air the game live. They have their own pre- and post-game, and then re-air old games throughout the course of the day.
So how do we think that works? Like, Nationals and Rangers fans pay a fee per month to watch their team?
I think it's like kind of part of the sports package, the way right now you have to buy NBC Sports Philadelphia on Xfinity. Now you just have Phillies TV. And then, by the way, what happens to, like, Sixers and Flyers games? Yeah. Like, then Josh Harris, remember when he was, like, talking about running his own network? The Commanders, Devils, and Sixers on one channel?
I got to tell you guys.
And this is the future.
I'm already paying for Disney Plus and Netflix and all this crap. If I have to buy a Phillies thing, and I mean, I'll do it because that's what we do, but, like, a Phillies thing and a Sixers thing and a Flyers thing.
That's where my mind went to. It's like the consumer will continually get screwed. And I know we already knew that, but
it's a dangerous game that they're playing, because we've had this conversation with the NFL, moving everything to streaming services, and we just do it because they can do it because we're suckers. We're going to buy it, but that's the NFL. That's a different animal.
I know.
There will be diehards, and there will be people like us, you know, who do this for work, and We'll buy the whatever the TV package is that means that we get to watch the Phillies all the time. But that's not like, I mean, if that becomes a trend across the league, that would be worries. Like if I'm the commissioner and I'm the owners, then that's something that I'm worried about.
Well, that's why they're going to try to centralize the TV money because they know right now, of course, more people are going to buy the Yankees and Mets and Dodgers than they will buy
the big markets will be fine.
Fine.
Who's buying Rays TV?
Nobody.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And it feels like baseball's just, Kyle, really quick off your point there, feels like baseball's in a really good spot in terms of like accessibility. Yeah. Like it felt like 10 years ago. Remember like BAM when you couldn't even like find videos of any baseball online?
Yeah, yep.
And baseball was in a really bad spot.
It's
and it's better now. And they put in the pitch clock and like casuals are back into it.
Yep.
And you can just like go to a bar and watch the game, whatever. If you're making it more exclusive, like the streaming services thing, you ever go to a bar the night of like a Netflix or an Amazon NFL game and half of them don't have
They just don't have it.
We were down in Baltimore for the Army Navy. Remember, didn't we watch like Thursday Night Football on your phone?
It was Falcons and Bucks.
Because it wasn't on the
TV.
They
didn't have Prime.
Yeah, which was wild.
So only the diehards will thrive and continue to watch sport.
I do wonder, though, have the Phillies built their team assuming that their deal continues, right? Like, they gave Trey Turner 11 years. They gave Bryce Harper 13 years. They gave Aaron Nola. I mean, they have these huge long-term contracts, and I have to guess when they're doing their books, right? They're doing their
projecting,
They're like, well, we know we have this much money from Comcast every year. If 2 years from now, Comcast's like, sorry, guys.
We don't exist.
That's a problem.
Is there a clause in there? What if the network folds? Then what?
Well, I mean, I guess what if any business you do business with folds? What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Sue them for the money they don't have left?
Just on the contractual level for the players. I don't know if you saw one of the, was it the players' proposal or was it the MLB proposal where they're going to cut contracts to no longer than five, six years?
Yeah, 5 years. Six if you re-sign with your own team, five if you're a free agent.
Well, how's that going to play into it, too?
It's all part of it.
They're going to have to make drastic changes almost across the board with this negotiation coming up with now this thrown in, the TV deal, revenue sharing, and just what they're going to do about salary cap, salary floor, all that stuff. Like, I have no idea what's
going on. All right, so let's put a poll up, and let's throw this out there. I think the three of us are the wrong people to ask because, of course, we talk every day about the Phillies, right? Like, that's what we do. I would pay for a Phillies streaming channel or whatever you call it, their own network. Do you think everyone listening to us would pay to watch the Phillies? I don't think it's going to be cheap, guys. This is going to be $10 for the season. It's probably going to be, I don't know, $200, $150. I don't know what... Maybe we can look into what these other, like the national.
So some of them are on cable, but again, like what's quote unquote included in cable anymore? You know, By the way, people's cable bills keep going up, and there are cord cutters. Like it gets so convoluted,
right? So like, if you already cut your cord, and then you just want to buy the Phillies channel the way you buy Amazon or the way you buy Netflix, it could cost. I mean. It could cost $20 a month. I wonder if everyone would buy them. 215-592-9494. Would you pay for the Phillies?
Yeah, if they form their own exclusive streaming service.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're not going to get 100%. And that's a problem if you're the Phillies, right? Because you want the most people watching as possible. And right,
we're suckers because we'll watch Jags Dolphins at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
I mean, baseball does not have that same luxury.
Real winner here could be WIP, who will still air the games for free.
Well, that is true. Yeah, it is it could be clearly the most accessible way to access the Phillies. 215-592-9494. Your take on all that. Let's go to Elijah. I think, you know what? I met an Elijah. I think it was maybe Thursday or Friday last week. Maybe that's Elijah. What's up, Elijah? Elijah, you there? I'll put Elijah back on hold. I didn't meet an Elijah on Friday, I think it was, in around Trevo. So maybe that was him. Let's go to Sean in Newark, talking CJGJ. Sean!
Yes. Hi, everybody.
Yes.
Sean,
yes,
what's up?
Hi.
I wanted to chime in, and you've been kind of all over the place because you were doing Phillies, too. But as far as the CJGJ, it just seems silly. It's like you woke up this morning and needed something to talk about, so let's come up with this false equivalency that we paid money for Saquon Barkley, so somehow that meant we couldn't sign CJGJ, and then somehow that meant that the defense was somehow, I guess, inferior. But when you look at their numbers, I think the Eagles were top five in points allowed. But more importantly,
well, they weren't. But they weren't as good last year as the year before. They were not. They weren't.
They played tougher competition.
I don't know. They played Lamar in a 41 touchdown season. They played Burrow that year. I don't know if they played tougher. I mean, Sean. You're saying
you didn't even let me finish my point.
Just one quick thing. Do you think I came up with the idea, or this was CJ that woke up and came up with the idea? Because it's his quote.
All right, well, you're the one promoting it, but that part's irrelevant. You're, like, staring me off my point to go do new questions and side topics. But my point was they were number one in passing. They were number one, I think, in total yards allowed. They were number one in passing, like, overall defensive efficiency. Pretty much everything in the passing game, they were the best in the league. So if they're the best in the league in all the passing-related stats, not against the run, but the pass, why did they need CJGJ? Why did that harm the team so much? Can you answer me that?
Well, but they weren't number one in passing yards allowed. They weren't that great. They were a very good defense last year, Sean.
Everything they were. Go check. Go get the stats.
What stat are you talking about? Which one in particular?
Well, mainly I'm focusing on the passing stats related, you know, passing, because that's where CJGJ would come into it, right? Here, I got them up in front of me. I just did it while I was on the phone with you. It says they last year they were top five in the NFL in completion percentage, passer rating allowed. I had more detailed stats.
Hold on, Sean, one second. My goodness, holy hell. Hey!
All right.
I'm just looking at the quarterbacks they play, because that's part of the conversation here. Dak, Mahomes, Stafford, Baker Mayfield, Bo Nix, Jared Goff, Jordan Love, Dak again, Caleb Williams, Justin Herbert.
It's good.
At Josh Allen. I would argue that's better quarterback competition than the year before.
Okay. I mean, it's maybe you're right. But I'll say this: they weren't as great of a defense. I mean, we could say
they weren't number. If they were number one against it, then it would be cut and dry. I mean, I still think it's. I would argue it's on par, almost just as impressive.
They also had a playoff game against Brock Purdy here, where they gave a long touchdown to lose the game. Meanwhile, But the last time we saw the Eagles defense the year before, they were smacking Mahomes around. Like, it's just, it was a good defense, Sean. I'm not trying to.
Splitting hairs.
Well, yeah, but they were great, and then they went to very good. That's my read on it.
My whole point is you're coming up with crazy false equivalencies, and you're still doing it. Like, you're saying now they weren't smacking the quarterback enough because of what? They lost CJGJ? In other words, the passing game, that's the coverage.
No, but I think you're missing the point. Whether or not we want to say CJGJ has a point or he's an idiot, the reality is they lost a lot of players from the Super Bowl defense. And guys, they had to go spend a third-round pick to replace Josh Sweat, right? That's why Jalen Phillips came in here. And then they lost Jalen Phillips, and they just traded two third-round picks for Jonathan Greenard. Like, you could say false equivalency all you want. They gave Saquon a raise. And in a different world, they could have just gave that money to Josh Sweat. They'd have three extra third-round picks to not give away the next 2 years. They've been trying to replace Josh Sweat since the minute he walked out the door. So whether or not CJGJ is the right messenger, he's not crazy to say, why did they give that guy more money when we had all these players that we won a championship with walk out the door? I don't think it's a crazy thought.
Well, part of the reason you're giving him money is you're also, as many people like yourself have said in the past, that pro players understand money, and you're establishing the fact that from this point moving forward, this guy's one of our franchise players. So when we get to, like, this year, for example, and A.J. Brown isn't anymore and you're not paying him that money anymore, when the new number one pick walks into that room, he knows Jalen Hurts, he's the franchise player. He knows Saquon Barkley, he's the franchise player. And Devontae Smith, he is. And we're going to be doing things this way. Elaine Johnson, a franchise player. And they understand that. So you're changing that chemistry of the team as well, which is another reason why CJ wasn't here. Vic Fangio evaluated it for a year and said, yeah, you guys were right when you got rid of him last time. I don't need this guy. I can get us back to number one in passing defense without this guy. And then he did.
Yeah. The Eagles are the machine. I mean, I think it works for both the offense and the defense.
Sure.
I mean, Howie's the one building this roster. They have Vic Fangio. Like, it's more about the Eagles than it's about CJ Gardner-Johnson. They're going to win before him, and they're going to win after him.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's about him. I just thought he had a point. Not about him. He's replaceable, clearly. But they did give a raise to a player that didn't need a raise and let a lot of guys go. I mean, he's not wrong about that.
But CJ probably is going to get let go anyway.
Probably, yeah.
Let go off two other teams within that time, between that time and now.
Well, he's been on a lot of teams.
Not an Eagles exclusive.
Sean, do you have a favorite Hugh Douglas moment?
Well, I don't have a favorite moment, so I'm not really the contest. You'd be better if you give it to somebody else. But I'll throw out the fact that he's doing a lot of charity things like the Beer 62. And I appreciate that because my son has autism and he's actually attended Eagles events. So seeing people out there doing that, it makes him know that it's actually a lot bigger than him and he's not alone. And a lot of people are aware of it, so don't stress on it so much.
Very good one, Sean. Sean, great hearing from you. Yes, Hugh is a generous guy, and he does go to all our charity.
The ever charitable Hugh Douglas.
Always.
Not frugal, always just giving.
Well, you could be charitable with your time, and
yes,
not so much your money.
That is true.
And if you help people raise money that are willing to give their money, then you did your part.
And if he give you a choice, time or money,
yeah,
he's going to pick time.
Of course he is. It is splitting hairs, but and look, this doesn't have to be about CJ GJ. Last year's defense was not quite as great as the year before.
No. Well, statistically, it wasn't. And, you know, just, I mean, if you're number one, you're probably not going to be number one the next year. But I do think there is, if the Eagles were to go, this is just a different example. They were go 13-4, but they have a pretty easy schedule. But the next year they go 12-5. But the schedule's tougher. Mm-hmm. You could almost argue that's more impressive.
You can. No, right. Because it's like you mentioned the quarterbacks they faced.
It's a scale.
Yeah, it is a scale. You know, one thing that we haven't talked much about, it just kind of hit me now. How do we think this Eagles, is this Eagles defense this year a lock to be a top five defense again?
Well, no.
It's one thing because we've spent so much time on Jalen, the offense, right? Yeah. Losing AJ, Sean Mannion.
Yeah.
We just have kind of accepted top five Eagles defense.
Fangio.
And right, Fangio.
But if you look at Fangio's history, it's not a lot. Like, he doesn't just, you know, he doesn't churn out top five defenses every year that he coaches.
Well, and the other thing I keep thinking about is, look, up front, they should be really good, right? And I think Grenard can do just what Jalen Phillips did. They're probably similar. And Reek Woolen is probably an upgrade over Adoree. Mm-hmm. I think we'd agree on that.
Yeah. We'll see.
Nakobe, though, are we sure that Jihad is an upgrade over Nakobe?
No.
I'm not sure. And also, I'm not sure that are even good at safety. Safety is a weirdly it's Makuba, who I like, but we saw him play for like what, six games, and it's Marcus Epps.
It's on my radar. It's one of the, it reminds me sort of the offseason after we won the Super Bowl when we started getting rid of guys, except this time we didn't have the young guys going to step in, no question. Like,
right.
I mean, you don't have the Nolan Smith coming off of the great playoff run that he just did, and you kind of, I know they paid a lot of money for these guys, but you didn't go get the biggest names in free agency. You got Jonathan Grenard, Reek Woolen again. They gave him a good amount of money, but you're almost like, you waited till a couple days into free agency, right? Like, they sat out the first few days of free agency. It's almost, in a way, bargain bin shopping, even though they paid a lot of money.
And they did. When was the first defensive player they took in the draft? They took an offensive player in the first round, Mekhi Lemon. They took an offensive player in Eli Stowers in the second round. They took an offensive player in Markell Bell in the third round.
They didn't take another safety again until late, right?
The Wazinski kid from Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. They took Red Star Cole Payton in the fifth round. I mean, they really didn't.
They addressed the offense.
Yeah, they did not draft for defense. So, look, with Vic Fangio here, I expect it to be a good defense. I'm not saying they're going to go be 14th or 17th in ranking, but it's just funny, as we've talked about this offense so much, it's just like an assumption. They're a top five defense. They might be, but safety and I feel like the Nakobe loss we just kind of pushed away. Nakobe was better than Campbell.
I totally agree. It's the Nakobe thing and Blankenship. Not that these guys are like the best players, but that's where you become a good team. That's when a good team becomes a great team, is around the margins.
Right.
Because you have the main, you have the Jalen Carter up the middle, or you have an elite player on each level, the Quinion. But you win the Super Bowl with those guys around the edges.
Yeah. I guess if Woolen takes off and reaches the potential,
it would be
people
a huge
thought,
deal.
That could tip the scales back.
We
to
could
top.
Be talking best secondary in football.
Oh, that, and the best corner trio by far. All right, 215-592-9494. Quickly on this poll that we put up. Mm-hmm. The results are not great early for the Phillies if this is going to happen, if they're going to lose NBC Sports Philadelphia. Would you pay money to watch the Phillies if they form their own exclusive streaming service? It's over 50% no early in the vote. I'm the Phillies and I see that or feel that, that's like, whoa, boy.
Yeah, well, Middleton's reacted to polls before.
Yeah, that's why Bryce Harper's here.
Maybe when he does a post.
Are we saving them from themselves with this poll?
Well, he's going to do a postseason press conference. Because I saw the WIP Midday Show poll.
And I knew we had to fix this thing. All right.
I do wonder if this is not as much, if people don't understand how real this is yet.
Yeah, right.
And if it becomes more real, then we'll see people
budge. Yeah, no, that might be. All right.
Also, one quick question. So we put streaming service. If we put own TV network, Do you think that would change the influence of this at all?
Maybe, yeah. It would change it for the people that still have cable. Right?
I guess either way,
people
hear
streaming service.
It, right?
People hear streaming service now, and they just get like defensive.
Well, because it piles on. It's like I gotta subscribe to something else.
Because like you said, your kid wants Disney Plus and Netflix and Hulu and what HBO Max.
The idea is you're spending more money to see it.
Yeah, right.
So if I just put TV Network out there, somebody might think it's just another channel that pops up on the guide. But I'm talking about, will you pay an extra $10 a month to get the Phillies?
Yeah, it might be coming sooner than we think. All right, 215-592-9494. Your phone calls on all this, plus your favorite Hugh Douglas moment, on field or off field, for your chance to win the HBCU Classic tickets, the Swingman Class tickets. And on the other side, we got to get to it. I mean, I knew everyone's waiting for it. Like, they're like, wait, Hugh's not here. Kyle's on this side. When are they going to talk about the quarterback? When are they going to talk about Jalen Hurts? You get your wish next. We got a quest to throw about Jalen Hurts. That's next. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.